Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your hostess, the Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, the time right now is just about 10 minutes past 10. Alhamdulillah, this morning we commence with Monday morning focus, and it's the ideal Muslimah. Inshallah, we'll be focusing on visiting the sick. Now, we touched on it a little bit last week, and what I'll do today is just recap and continue focusing on the importance of visiting the sick. And most importantly, it's all about also about the blessings that we can derive from visiting the sick, inshallah. That will be followed by Socially Speaking with Maulana Mohammed Venka. Today we focus on a very important topic, the importance of dawah. And this will come up a little later in the program. A reminder to our listeners that our lines are open. If you have any questions or concerns, you can call in. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. You can also SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-8492-786 with any of your questions, inshallah. But for now, it's the ideal Muslimah. And like I said, we're going to just go through, what we spoke about last week, inshallah. I think I'll just go through it all. It's so important, and I think we should just know how important it is for us to visit the sick, and of course the blessings that we actually receive from visiting the sick. Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Visiting the sick is one of the Islamic social customs that was established and encouraged by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has made it a duty on every Muslim man and woman, and made it a right that one Muslim may expect from another. So it's something, it's a duty, and it is a right of every Muslim, male or female, to visit the sick, inshallah. Now, the rights of a Muslim over his brother are five, and let's go through them. The first one is that he should visit, he should return his salam. If anybody makes salam, you should return that salam. You should visit the sick. You should attend the mayyat or the funerals. Accept an invitation. If you are invited, you should try and accept the invitation. And of course, bless a person by saying Yarhamukullah when he sneezes. Those are the rights of a Muslim. Five very important ones. Now, of course, there are other reports with regards to it where they add on, there's another, a few others that are just as important. And this one is, the rights of a Muslim over his brother are six. It was asked, what are they? And the Prophet ﷺ replied by saying, when you meet him, greet him with salam. That if you meet a Muslim brother, when you meet him, you make salam and you reply to the salam. When he invites you, try and accept the invitation. When he seeks your advice, and this is the one different from the first one, when he seeks your advice, then advise him. And so important, when somebody is seeking your advice, to give them the correct advice, inshallah. Never mislead people by giving them the wrong advice. So when somebody seeks your advice, please give them the right advice. When he sneezes and he says Alhamdulillah, then bless him by saying Yarhamukullah. And when he is ill, then visit him. And of course, when he dies, follow the bier, that is, attend his funeral to his grave, inshallah. So the only one extra added here is, when somebody seeks advice, it is your right and your duty as a Muslim to give him the right advice. Now, when the Muslim woman visits the sick, she does not feel that she is merely doing a favor or trying to be nice. She feels that it is that she's doing an Islamic duty that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam urged Muslims to do. So very important for us to remember that you don't do it just as a favor upon somebody or just being trying to be nice to somebody. When you go and visit the sick, you need to be completely sincere in what you are doing. And it's important for us to remember that it is an Islamic duty for every Muslim male and female to visit the sick and to, you know, to actually urge others to do it. With regards to this, obviously there are still other things that we can do, and there's another hadith that says, just visiting the sick is one of them. You should also feed the hungry, visit the sick, and ransom the prisoners of war. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to visit the sick, to attend funerals, to bless someone when he sneezes, to fulfill all oaths, to come to the aid of the oppressed, and to accept invitations, and to greet everyone with salam. So look at the importance of visiting the sick, obviously to attend the funeral, to bless someone. That's also very, very important. If someone sneezes, then you need to reply to this, to his dua that he makes. Of course, to try and fulfill all his oaths. Also, to come to the aid of the oppressed and to accept invitations. You know, sometimes we decide whose invitation we want to accept. But it's so important, whether it's a poor man, a rich man, any person inviting you, if you can't attend, then you must accept the invitation. And of course, to make salam, very important to make salam and to accept, or rather to answer to the salam. When the Muslim woman visits the sick, she does not feel that this is a burdensome duty, and that could of course depress her because of the atmosphere of gloom and despair that may surround the sick person. That also should not be a reason why you don't visit the sick. Now, on the contrary, the senses of feeling spiritual joy and satisfaction, which none can feel except those who truly understand the hadith, which describes the goodness, the reward, and the blessings contained in such a visit. So when we visit the sick, we must think of the goodness, the reward, and the blessings, it is for us to go and visit the sick. And with regards to this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, Allah will say on the day of resurrection, O son of Adam, I fell ill and you did not visit me. And he will say, O Lord, how could I visit you when you are the Lord of the world? Then he will say, Allah will say, did you not know that my servant so-and-so had fallen ill and you did not visit him? Did you not know that had you visited him, you would have found me with him? So remember, the next time you feel like not visiting a sick person, remember that when you visit a sick person, Allah is with that sick person. O son of Adam, I asked you for food and you did not feed me. He will say, O Lord, how could I feed you when you are the Lord of the world? And he will say, Allah will say, did you not know that my servant so-and-so asked you for food and you did not feed him? Did you not know that had you fed him, you would surely have found that is the reward for doing so with me? So you would have got reward for it if you had fed him. Remember, if somebody asks you for food, if you get these beggars asking for food, much as we want to sometimes send them away, remember the reward for feeding that person, that Allah probably had sent that person to your particular home. So don't just send away somebody. I know sometimes, you know, we think of the danger involved these days, but make a way of actually giving that person food. O son of Adam, I asked you to give me to drink, and you did not give me to drink. And he will say, O Lord, how could I give you to drink when you are the Lord of the worlds? And he will say, Allah will say, my servant so-and-so asked you to give him to drink, and you did not give him to drink. Had you given him to drink, you would surely have found that with me. So always remember, when somebody asks you for a glass of water, or, you know, something to drink, remember that Allah may have sent that particular person to you to ask for that drink. And remember the blessings you will get, the reward you will get for actually giving that person a drink of water. So remember, if a person is sick the next time, if you're still contemplating and deciding whether, you know, I should go and visit the sick or not, remember, it is your duty as a Muslim to go and visit the sick, and you will get rewarded for him, because remember, Allah is there with the sick person. So how blessed is such a visit, and how great a good deed which a man undertakes to do for his sick brother, when by doing so, he is in fact in the presence of Almighty Allah, who witnesses his noble deed and rewards him generously for him. So when you visit a sick, remember, you are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much of reward won't you get for that? Is there any greater and a more blessed visit which is honored and blessed and encouraged by the Lord of heavens and earth? How great is the misery and the loss that will befall the one who failed in his duty? So how much don't we stand to lose by not visiting the sick? How great will be his humiliation when the Almighty declares before all present, O son of Adam, I fell ill and you did not visit me. Did you not know that my servant so and so had fallen ill and you did not visit him? Did you not know that had you visited him, you would have found me with him? So you want to visit. If you visit the sick, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there with the sick person. We will leave you, to your imagination, the sense of regret, humiliation and shame that will overwhelm the man who neglected to visit his sick brother at the time when such great, such regret will be of no avail. You know, many a times, and it happens to so many of us, unfortunately, you know, so many of us are guilty of it. We always say we're going to visit the sick person, and for some reason or the other, we decide, maybe not today, we'll see tomorrow, and we leave it, and we go, and this thing goes on, to not today, tomorrow, not today, tomorrow, and before you know it, the person passes away, and you feel such regret, you know, you feel so bad now, I was supposed to visit the person, and I didn't go and visit. So why do you want to go through all that? You know, if you know of a person, then hurry and go and visit the sick person. Don't waste, leave everything else and visit the sick. You will get so much of blessings for doing that, inshallah. So please, I think this is something we shouldn't take lightly. Any sick person, any person that you know, your family member that is not well, you know, just go. You don't have to make a burden of yourself there. You just go and visit the sick and make dua for the sick person and come away. And, you know, how grateful won't that sick person be when you actually come there and greet him and, you know, make dua for him. The sick person in an Islamic community feels that he is not alone at this hour of need. The empathy and the prayers of the people around him envelop him and elevate his suffering. And this is the pinnacle of human civility and emotion. No other nation in history has ever known such a level of emotional and social responsibility as exists in the Ummah of Islam. The sick person, you know, in other communities may find a hospital to admit him and a doctor to give him medicine, but rarely will he find a healing touch, compassionate word, kindly smile, sincere prayers, or just true sympathy. So, you know, it is so important for us to go out and make absolutely sure the next time you hear of anybody that is sick, just go and visit the sick person. Sometimes the non-Muslim, for that matter, does not have any motive to visit the sick unless he feels that he may gain some material benefit from this visit sooner or later. In contrast, we find that the Muslim is motivated to visit the sick in the hope of earning reward which Allah has prepared for the one who gets his feet dusty, and that means that he goes out and about for his sake. So, you know, when you do it for the pleasure of Allah, and certainly Allah will most certainly reward you for that. Now, there are many hadith texts on this topic which awaken feelings of brotherhood in the Muslim's heart and strongly motivate him to visit his sick brother. Now, for example, when the Muslim visits his sick Muslim brother, he remains in the fruits, or rather the garden of paradise, until he returns. So look at the reward that you are getting. If you visit your sick brother, then you are in the gardens of paradise until you return. No Muslim visits a sick Muslim in the morning, but 70,000 angels will bless and pray for him until the evening. And if he visits him in the evening, 70,000 angels will bless and pray for him until the morning, and fruits from paradise will be his. So why won't we visit when we can get so much of reward? Imagine, so much of reward, and we still delay in visiting the sick. Now, with this deep insight into human psychology, the Prophet ﷺ understood the positive impact of such visits on the sick person and his family. So he never neglected to visit the sick and speak to them the kindest word of prayer and consolation. He was the epitome of such kindness, which led him to visit a young Jewish boy who used to serve him, as Anas radiallahu anhu narrated. Now, this is just an example. A young Jewish boy used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He fell ill, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to visit him. He sat by his head and he told him, "Enter Islam." The boy looked at his father, who was present with him, and his father said, "Obey Abul Qasim." So the boy entered Islam. The Prophet ﷺ left saying, "Praise be to Allah who has saved him from the fire." Now, just quickly, taking this into account, when visiting this sick Jewish boy, the Prophet ﷺ did not neglect to call him to Islam, because he knew the effects his visit would have on the boy and his father, who were overwhelmed by his generosity, his kindness, and his gentle approach. So they responded to him. This visit bore fruits of guidance, and the Prophet ﷺ left praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a soul had been saved from the fire. What a great man, and what a wise and eloquent da'i the Prophet ﷺ was. And of course, the Prophet ﷺ was so concerned about visiting the sick that he set out principles and guidelines for doing so, which were followed by the Sahaba and recorded in the books of Sunnah. And one of these practices is to sit at the head of the sick person, as we have seen in the story of the Jewish boy. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited a sick person, he would actually sit by his head and then say seven times, "I ask Almighty Allah, the Lord of the Almighty Throne, to heal you." He would say that seven times. Another of his practices is to wipe the body of the sick person with the right hand and pray for him. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to visit some of his relatives and wipe them with his right hand, saying, "O Allah, Lord of mankind, remove the suffering. Heal, for you are the healer. Heal, for you are the healer. There is no healing except for your healing, the healing which leaves no trace of sickness." So that's the dua he used to read, you know, wipe his hand seven times over the body of the person from his right hand, and he would read that dua. And then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say that the Prophet ﷺ went to visit a sick Bedouin, and whenever he visited a sick person, he would say, "No worry, it is purification, inshallah." So sometimes when you see a person suffering, then remember that is purification. You know, you shouldn't be feel bad about it. Remember that every bit of difficulty that a sick person is going through, that is purification for him, inshallah. So yes, these are just some of the ways that you should, the etiquettes of visiting a sick person. a Muslim woman of the early generation understood the meaning of visiting the sick and the role it plays in maintaining the ties of friendship, compassion, and affection. They would hasten to perform this noble duty, lifting the spirits of the sick person, wiping away the tears of the grief-stricken, elevating the burden of the alleviating the burden of distress, strengthening the ties of brotherhood, and consoling the distress. So, as Muslim women, we could also do well to follow the example of the early Muslim women and revive this praiseworthy sunnah, inshallah. So please, remember the importance of visiting the sick. You know, we should not delay. If you know of anybody that's sick and you need to go and visit the sick, then leave everything else and visit the sick, inshallah. Well, that's it for today. When I come back, inshallah, next week, we obviously will talk about something else. But for now, we're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll be speaking to Maulana Mohammed Venker. And, of course, a very important topic again that we'll be discussing, the importance of dawah. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and joining me from KwaZulu-Natal this morning, alhamdulillah, is Maulana Mohammed Venker, our esteemed guest. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana. Jazakallahu khair for joining us once again this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Mm-hmm. Barakallahu alaikum.
Okay. Now, this morning, alhamdulillah, we're talking about a very important topic, and it's all about the importance of dawah. Now, I think we'll just start off, Maulana, by asking you, what exactly does the word dawah mean, and why is it such an important aspect of a Muslim's life?
When we look at dawah in the Quran, Kareem, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in various different places in the Quran, speaks about the importance of disseminating this beautiful religion of Islam to the general masses. So generally when we speak about da'wah, commonly we feel that this is only confined, you know, to the effort of tabligh. Undoubtedly, the effort of tabligh is a wonderful avenue by virtue of which, people who are already Muslim, they are reminded of the obligation, they are reminded of the duty that they owe to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But I think the time has also come, and many scholars have spoken about this, you know, to take it to a different level, to take this religion of Islam and present it, in our homes, in our businesses, in our communities. You know, if Islam is good for me, then it is good for, the general masses. So da'wah Allah in the Quran Kareem, like I mentioned, in various different places, Allah speaks about this important, tenet of deen, this important aspect, of deen, and that is to take this religion of Islam and be ambassadors of this beautiful deen.
Okay, Maulana. Normally, when we talk about tabligh and inviting people to the deen, we mostly listen to bayans given by men. But what is the role of a Muslim woman with regards to dawah?
Yes, I think this is something which is very pertinent. This is something very, very important. When we look into the life of the lives of the Sahabiyat, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then every one of them, they were instrumental in taking this beautiful deen. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a great faqiha, she was a great jurist of Islam. And there were many, many people that benefited, from her knowledge. So this is something that, unfortunately, this is a misconception that many people have, that da'wah is confined only to scholars, only to ulama, and this is not my duty, this is not my responsibility. We find this is a fallacy that unfortunately has crept into the ummah, where we find that it is the duty of this organization or that individual, to take this religion of Islam. But every one of us has that ability, has that capacity, being da'wah in some way or the other, with those that are working for us in our businesses, those that are working for us, as domestic servants in our homes, those whom we interact with, on a daily basis, those who are working in our communities. And, just to da'wah is basically to show people the beauty of Islam. Hidayat and guidance is in the hands of Allah. We just have to pass on the message. And this is a question that we need to ask ourselves, is that to what extent have we given this beautiful religion of Islam, how much have we disseminated this beautiful religion, and to what extent, you know, are we convinced, you know, this is something very, very important, to what extent are we convinced that we are ambassadors of this beautiful deen? Like in the Quran Kareem, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that we are the vicegerents of Allah on the face of this earth. So this is something very, very important. Like we had mentioned, it's not the responsibility, you know, of one jamaat or the responsibility of a few individuals, but rather it's the responsibility of every person who recites the Kareema, you know, to take this message and pass it on to others.
Alhamdulillah. Mulana, I think it's important, like you mentioned earlier, like, you know, to start at home. And the best place to start off is obviously with the people that work with you, your domestic, in the workplace, your staff, whoever works with you. So how can we convince, people that are around you, like your domestics, how do we convince them and how do we teach them about the deen?
Okay, but I think number one is, we find that there are many, many books that have been written in the local vernacular languages, that have been translated, books that were originally written in the Arabic language have now been translated into various different languages. Number one is just to, we should not impose on them, but number one is to show them our character, show them the beauty of Islam, you know, through our character, in terms of we have these auspicious occasions, like the blessed month of Ramadan, when the day of Eid comes, in the days of Hajj, you know, speak to them about the beauty of Islam. Generally today, when people think about Islam, they have a very negative perception about Islam. They think any person who's dressed in kurta, any person who has the beard, this is a fundamentalist Muslim, this is a terrorist Muslim, and we hear these terminologies. And we hear about those women, you know, who are in hijab and niqab, these are oppressed women. So we need to make them understand what is the wisdom, behind a woman dressing in a certain manner. What is the wisdom behind a man dressing in a certain manner? So number one is, you know, to take literature, give it to them, let them read. What we generally do when somebody is showing inclination towards Islam, we take a copy of the Quran and we give it to them. A person who knows absolutely nothing about Islam, we need to give them some basic literature to explain to them the basic tenets of deen, what the kalimas that we normally recite, what is the meaning of this? You know, and this will encapsulate, and this would give them a brief understanding of what this religion, what is our belief system. So one is to give them some basic literature. Number two is that to give them, some sort of advice Islamically. What tends to happen generally when somebody comes to ask us about Islam, you know, we don't know where to start, where to end. We start mumbling. We don't know what to say. And we refer them to other scholars. Every one of us, you know, should have the basic knowledge, the basic understanding of this beautiful religion, and take this deen, and in our simplified way, in the confines of our home, be ambassadors of this beautiful deen.
I think that is one of the most important reasons why many people are discouraged to become, da'is, to invite people to Islam. They probably feel that we are not knowledgeable enough about the deen. Now, how do you deal with a situation when you don't know the answer to questions that maybe the people ask you?
Yes, when it comes to the basics of deen, I'm sure every one of us has some knowledge with regards to the basics of deen. However, when it comes to the more intricate aspects of deen, especially if somebody, has been following another religion and they have been studying the religion, and at times it becomes difficult to explain to them, what is the Islamic concept when it comes to Trinity, for example. This is a common topic that has been unpacked, this has been dissected, but for an ordinary Muslim, to unpack this topic to a non-Muslim, it does become difficult, and at times we are lost for answers. So if it comes to such a point where you cannot answer the person when they ask any questions, then of course we find that they are competent organizations, they are competent scholars and ulama, who deal with comparative religion. Of course, we do not debate any issue, but we show them the beauty, of this beautiful religion.
Okay. Okay. Also, you know, to become a da'i, there's many challenges that many of us face. Many women, for example, men, for example, you know, you face a lot of challenges, like perhaps, you know, people being, you know, rude to you or, you know, some of their challenges. Can you maybe just share with us some of those challenges and how do you deal with those challenges?
Yes, absolutely. I think this is something also very, very important. Like we mentioned, number one, the golden principle is that we do not be harsh on them. We do not impose on them to accept the religion. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah. We merely convey the message and we ask Allah to guide them. So sometimes, you know, what happens is that we tend to be harsh, we tend to be very aggressive, that I'm making such effort and the person is not heeding to the message that I'm giving him or her. And a person becomes hostile towards us, the person becomes arrogant, we distance the person away from us. This is not what Islam teaches us. You know, we need to be soft, we need to be very in our approach, we need to adopt diplomacy in our approach. And end of the day, we have conveyed the message, we have done our duty, we do not give up, but we show them the beauty of Islam. And if there is one quality that will impress your people of the beauty of Islam, it is the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the simple things that we do in our homes. How do we speak to those that are working for us? How do we treat them? Do we feed them properly? Do we clothe them properly? You know, do we treat them like human beings? You know, many of us treat them like servants. You know, they are treated you know, worse than servants. They are treated worse than slaves. You know, how do we speak to them? Our children condemn them. They ridicule them. You know, the common thing that normally happens if the domestic drops something or she does something wrong. You know, that is the time to show her the beauty of Islam. And it is the small acts of nobility that perhaps might become instrumental in her coming into the fold of Islam.
Hmm. Maulana, we'll take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we continue. Reminder to our listeners that we're talking about the importance of dawah. If perhaps you have a few minutes left, if perhaps you have any questions, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548, or you can also SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-84-92-786. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. My guest is Maulana Muhammad Venker from KwaZulu-Natal, and we're talking about the importance of dawah. Maulana, a question that's come in is dawah only for non-Muslims?
I think this is another very, very important question. You know, I think we look at it generally the other way. Many of us feel that, you know, we need to make da'wah, you know, only to those in certain circles. No, of course, da'wah is not confined only to non-Muslims, but we need to make da'wah to Muslims as well. You know, we all need the reminder. The Quran says, that remind, for verily a reminder is beneficial for those who believe. So every one of us, you know, need to remind one another. So the effort of tabligh, you know, they doing an excellent job, and alhamdulillah, many, many people have remained steadfast on this beautiful deen through the effort of tabligh. So when we look at da'wah, this generally means, you know, to invite people who are not yet Muslim, you know, just to pass on the message. We need to understand that Islam is not, hidayat is not in my hands. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah. We just take this message and we pass it on and we make dua and we ask Allah, you know, to guide the person.
Okay, and with regards, you know, giving dawah, what is the best manner of doing it?
Okay, the best manner of doing dawah is the manner that taught to us in the, you know, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our reference for guidance and navigation, you know, will be the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, we find today with, you know, there are so many opportunities that we have, you know, via social media. You know, sometimes it is used, you know, to our detriment. It is used for evil, with evil intentions. But the same social media can be used to disseminate pure Islamic knowledge. You know, we have everything at our fingertips, really, but it's very, very important that whatever knowledge we disseminate, this should be verified by, you know, by reliable scholars, by authentic scholars. There are many, many people that we know who have come into the fold of Islam, and many of them have mentioned that they are grateful to Allah that they were first introduced to Islam before being introduced to Muslims. Many of them, this is really an indictment. If their first introduction was via Muslims, they say they doubt they would have accepted the faith. So really, this is something we need to, you know, in our homes, you know, this is where we can make a start in our community, those that are working for us, you know, in our businesses. You know, that's where we need to make a start. Every one of us should make this intention. You know, sometimes very boldly we say that this domestic has been working for me for the last 30 years. But if she has not asked me about Islam not once, then really I think we have failed, you know, in our duty and our responsibility.
Mm-hmm. So our way of life, obviously, is supposed to be an invitation or a dawah to Islam, first and foremost, I think. Okay, well, Maulana, what message would you like to leave our listeners with, inshallah?
My message to you is very, very simple. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that convey, even if it means one ayah, one iota, one piece of knowledge. If you have this knowledge of deen, we've got this beautiful religion, let us not be selfish with it. Take this religion and convey it to the general masses. Who knows, one person coming into the fold of Islam because of our efforts, you know, could be, inshallah, our savior and the savior of our families and our children, you know, on the day of Qiyamah.
JazakAllah khair, Maulana, inshallah. We hope, you know, everybody listening to our programs, our efforts that we are making on the radio, inshallah, well, inshallah, even if it's just one person somewhere in the world that accepts Islam because of this, inshallah, Allah will reward
us. Absolutely. You know, we recall that during the Hajj season, we know there are many, many people that we know of, you know, who have heard the Hajj broadcast, people who are inspired, you know, listening to the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they refer to as Abraham, you know, and the similarities, you know, in the divine scriptures. And many of them have accepted Islam just merely, you know, witnessing this amazing journey of Hajj. You know, when we look at the blessed month of Ramadan, you know, Ramadan, why do we fast? What are the benefits of it? What is the wisdom of fasting? So we need to create a very positive image of Islam. Unfortunately, we create a very, very negative, you know, perception of Islam. If somebody has to ask us, we normally say you need to pray so many times a day, you need to give so much of charity, you need to fast so much. We create a very dull attitude of Islam. So let us show them the positive side, that Islam is a religion of tolerance, Islam is a religion of peace, and Islam is there. You know, we travel to many countries of the world today, alhamdulillah, and people are flocking into the fold of Islam. But in this country, there are many organizations that are doing excellent work, but we should, inshallah, let us see in our individual level, how can we take this religion of Islam, you know, and convey it, you know, to the masses.
Inshallah. Allah make it easy for all, inshallah, and JazakAllah khair, Maulana, for once again a wonderful program.
Barakallahu feekum, inshallah, till we speak again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, until next time, to all our listeners out there, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.